Hello, this is Mac, co-host of the Greatest Mixtape Podcast, with a story that I've wanted to share for several years. I wrote this screenplay with my great friend Bob. We were never able to get anybody in the biz to take a look at it, but we always thought it was a great story. I mean, of course, we wrote it. So I thought I might give it a try as a podcast, and hopefully people dig it. And I'm going to read it as a screenplay, which is kind of unique. It's called Deathbed Dave, and it's set in Atlanta, Georgia. Here we go. Act 1. Interior. Diner. Night. Dave, white, mid-30s, short black hair, glasses, sits in a booth sipping coffee while looking at his phone. Gleason, an overweight southern security guard at the counter, whispers a joke to the waitress, Emma, and lets out a loud belly laugh. Dave has his bank account pulled up on his phone and refreshes it until he sees confirmation of a $5,000 deposit. Dave looks out the window of the diner and sees Lou, a homeless man, begging two passing strangers for change. Dave: Hey, Emma. Emma walks to Dave's booth. Emma: What's up, Dave? Something else I can get for you? Dave: Yeah, can you get me two jelly donuts to go? Emma: You know, it's not your job to feed him. Dave: I know, but somebody's got to do it. While Gleason watches, Emma walks to the counter, puts two donuts into a paper bag, and returns to Dave's booth. Dave: Thanks, Emma. Emma: See you tomorrow. Dave takes a last sip of coffee, reaches into his wallet, and leaves a $20 bill on the table before walking toward the front door with his to-go bag. Gleason: There he goes, dead man walking. Dave: Fuck you, rent-a-cop. Gleason: You best watch yourself, boy. Dave: Sorry, hillbilly rent-a-cop. That better? Gleason: Keep talking. That's all you do. Dave: Yeah, whatever. Exterior. Diner. Night. Dave walks out of the diner and over to Lou and hands him the bag. Dave: Here you go, man. Enjoy. Lou opens the bag and looks in. Lou: Donuts again? Dave: Sorry, next time I'll get you some scrambled eggs and fucking caviar. Lou: Hey, chill out, man. I'm only kidding. Dave: Sorry, that asshole security guard gets under my skin. Lou: Ah, fuck him. Dave: You're right, Lou. Fuck him. Lou: Thanks for the donuts, man. Dave: You got it, Lou. Lou: You going to work? Dave: Yep, time to go escort another old fart to the pearly gates. Lou: Damn, dude, that's pretty harsh. Dave walks away. Dave: Right again, Lou. Interior. Car. Night. Dave starts his car and scrolls through the music on his phone before pressing play on Nothing But a Good Time by the band Poison. Interior. Nursing home. Night. Dave walks down a hallway and nods at a passing nurse. He stops at a room, takes a deep breath, and walks inside. Dave enters the dimly lit room. Maggie, an elderly black woman, is lying in bed, breathing faintly. Dave sits down next to her and takes her hand. Dave: Hi, Maggie. It's me, Dave. Maggie opens her eyes. Maggie: Hi, Dave. It's time, isn't it? Dave: Yeah, sweetheart. It's time. Maggie: Promise me you'll stay with me and hold my hand until it's over. Dave: I promise, Maggie. Maggie: I don't want to die alone. Dave touches her cheek. Dave: That's why I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Dave looks around the room. Maggie: Did you decide what you want to take? Dave: Not yet. Maggie: Take my lamp. Dave looks over at the lamp on the nightstand. Dave: Maggie, I couldn't. Maggie: It's okay. I don't have any family to leave it to. Dave: Are you sure? Maggie: Yes. I've had that lamp since I was a girl, and I want you to have it. Dave: Thank you. You'll always brighten up the room. Maggie smiles as a nurse enters the room and rolls her eyes. The nurse pulls up Maggie's blanket so she is covered up to her neck. The nurse touches the side of Maggie's face and then leaves the room. Maggie: Now tell me a story until I fall asleep. Dave: You got it, Maggie. What do you want to hear? Maggie: Anything. Tell me about your life. Dave: Well, I was born in Hartford, Connecticut. They call Connecticut the Nutmeg State for some reason. I never really knew why, and I never bothered to ask. Interior, nursing home hallway, morning. Dave walks out of Maggie's room carrying her lamp. On his way down the hallway, he sees Gleason at the front desk. Gleason, how's business? Dave, booming. Gleason, how do you sleep at night? Dave, butt-ass naked. Gleason, you're a leech. Dave stops and looks at Gleason. Dave, maybe, but you're going to die alone. Gleason, better than having a phony like you at my side. Dave smiles at Gleason and turns and walks out the front door. Interior, Dave's apartment, morning. Dave enters the apartment and flicks on the light switch on the wall. His apartment resembles an elderly person's home, full of antique items and knitted blankets. He finds an open space on a table and sets down Maggie's lamp. He plugs in the lamp and turns it on. Dave, farewell, Maggie. Dave goes to the kitchen and opens the refrigerator. He pulls out a can of beer and walks back into the living room. He sits down on an old recliner and puts his feet up. Dave pops the beer can open, takes a sip, and puts the beer can on an antique table next to the chair. He reaches behind the chair and grabs an old knitted blanket. He puts the blanket on and closes his eyes. Interior, Dave's apartment, afternoon. Dave is still asleep in his rocking chair when his phone rings and wakes him up. He answers his phone, still groggy and sleepy. Dave, hello? Caller, hello, Dave. We have another person interested in your services. Dave, did you just use air quotes? Caller, just get down to the home. The caller hangs up and Dave throws the blanket off and slowly gets out of the rocking chair. Exterior, diner, afternoon. Dave exits the diner with a cup of coffee and drops a to-go bag next to Lou as he sleeps on the sidewalk. Interior, nursing home, evening. Dave enters the front door and walks to the main desk. Clara, black, mid-50s, sits behind the desk and raises her eyebrow as Dave approaches. Clara, there he is, the infamous deathbed Dave. Dave, you know I hate that nickname. Clara, I think it's kind of catchy and fitting. It's great branding, actually. Dave, what do you got for me, Clara? Clara, Mr. Philip Bradley in room 213. Dave, any family? Clara, would you be here if he had any? Dave, never hurts to ask. Anything you can tell me about him? Clara, he's old and alone. Dave, anything I might not know already? Clara, I change his diaper 9 times a day. Dave, only 9? Clara, great seeing you, Dave. Dave, same here. Dave winks at Clara and walks down the hall to the elevator. Interior, nursing home hallway, evening. Dave steps off the elevator and walks down the hallway to room 213 and walks in. He walks in and sees Phil, white, mid-80s, lying in bed with his eyes open. Dave, hello, Mr. Bradley? Phil, you always enter a room without knocking? Dave, sorry about that, Mr. Bradley. Phil, save yourself a little time, just call me Phil. Dave, okay, Phil, sorry again for... Phil, just have a seat. Dave sits in a chair next to the bed. Phil continues, so you're the guy they call Deathbed Dave, huh? Dave winces and shifts in his seat. Phil continues, does that make you uncomfortable? Dave, a little bit. This chair isn't so great either. Phil, don't worry about it. No matter what I call you, it won't change the fact that I'm dying. Dave, that's one way to look at it, I suppose. Phil, so how does this work? I'm assuming you get paid before I die? Dave, well, yeah, but I was hoping we could get to know each other a little bit before we get into that. Phil, I know quite a bit about you already, Dave. Dave, oh yeah, how so? Phil, people talk, especially when they're dying. Dave, what have you heard about me? Phil, that you're a pretty good guy, despite what you do for a living. Dave, I provide comfort and companionship. Phil, yes, to those who have nobody else. Dave, did you bring me in here today just to judge me? Phil, relax. I brought you in here because you're an opportunist. Dave, I am? Phil, yes, and a bored one at that. Dave, so you're offering to spice things up for me in the time you have left? Phil, you could say that. Dave, is this going to end like indecent proposal? Phil, what's that? Dave, nothing. Please continue. Phil, you're here because I don't have anybody else. They're all gone. Dave. Okay. Phil, you really want to get to know me? Dave. Yes, sir. Phil looks at a picture of a young woman on his nightstand. Phil, I did some things in the past that I'm not proud of. Dave points at the picture. Did you kill that lady in the picture? Phil, no, Dave, I'm not a murderer. Dave, okay, then what? Phil, I took some money that wasn't mine. Dave, and by took, you mean stole? Phil, well done, Matlock. Dave, an insult laced with a dated reference. My favorite kind. Phil exhales in frustration. Dave continues. Who did you take the money from and why? Phil, who I took it from isn't important. Why? Because he didn't need it, and I thought I did. Dave, so you won't tell me who you took it from? Phil, no. Dave, this story is lacking a lot of details, Phil. Phil, the money isn't something I can leave in a will, if I actually had anybody to leave it to. Dave, is this where I come in? Phil, yes. Would you consider foregoing your usual fee in exchange for assuming the risk that comes with taking a large sum of stolen cash? Dave, how large? Phil, $500,000. Dave leans back in his chair. Dave, let's talk more about the risk. Phil, well, you never know. Somebody might come looking for it eventually. Dave, like who? Phil, the rightful owner or his family to start. Dave, anybody else? Phil, some bored cops looking to solve a really cold case. Dave, okay, I'm getting a better sense of the risk. Dave stands up. Why me again? Don't you have any friends here? Phil, I do, but they'll all be dead soon too, and I'm sure as hell not leaving it laying around so that fat doofus can take it. Phil points at the door as Gleason walks by the room and gives Dave the I got my eyes on you hand gesture. Dave closes the door. Dave, why not just give the money to charity? Phil, you do that if you want. Dave, how come you never spent it? Phil, I never had anybody to spend it on. I thought I'd eventually have a wife and family. Dave points to the picture on the nightstand. What about her? Who's the girl in the picture? Phil looks at the picture and then back at Dave. That came with the frame. Dave walks to the window. Dave, so how does this plan of yours play out? Do I have to search for the money like Nicolas Cage in National Treasure? Phil, who's Nicolas Cage? Dave, he's one of our finest actors. Phil, never heard of him. Dave, he was also in Face Off. Phil rubs his forehead in frustration. Phil, see that trunk at the end of my bed? Dave, it's very nice, yes. Dave walks back to Phil's bedside. Phil, my whole life is in that trunk, along with the location of the money. After I go, you take it. Dave, I need to think about this. Phil, don't take too long. Clock's ticking, my friend. Literally. Dave walks out of Phil's room. Dave walks by the front desk as Gleason stares him down. Okay, so there's the first few scenes of Deathbed Dave, written by me, Mac, and my friend, Bob. I'll be back next week with more. Thanks for listening. Peace.